Hey there, church family, and welcome again. I am praying for you. I am praying for your family. I pray that this morning has just been a blessing, or whatever time it is that you are joining with us and engaging with this worship service, I pray that you've been blessed. I pray that you've taken advantage of every opportunity that we've given you and encouraged you to be in prayer, to be in worship. I pray that you're not just sitting at home on your couches just watching us sing or speak or reading just merely along with the prompts, but you are actually engaging in worship where you are. We've been talking in this time of separation that this is the season that God has taken us as individual Christians and as a church, and he's tucking us away in a time where we really have an opportunity to grow up together. And last week, we started a new series through the letter of 1 John in the New Testament. We've titled this series, Signs of Life, because last week we talked about the purpose that John has in writing this letter. He was writing to a people who were scared. He was writing to a people who were anxious, not only about the conflict that was going on around them, but they were anxious about their eternal security. And John wrote this letter specifically to a problem-riddled people, so that he could bring them assurance. This is a season where you might be afraid and you might be unsure of what is in the future. And you might even be questioning or doubting the goodness of God, the love of God, the relationship that you have with God and with his church. John's letter is written to you. It's written to me that we might be assured of the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. We are children of God, that we are saved. And so I pray that you've taken this week and you've taken an opportunity to read through this letter. It's 5 chapters. We're going to be in it for the next several weeks. And so I'd encourage you to continue reading through that, and that you would be encouraged in this season, and that you would take this time. One of the beautiful things about being in a video format is that you can send this link to friends and to family that you have who might benefit from this season, who've ever asked the question, how can I know that I'm saved? John gives us signs of life. And we're eventually going to get to those signs of life in the letter of 1 John. But before we can get to those signs of life, when we understand that John is writing to us with the purpose of communicating those evidences, if you will, of our relationship with Jesus Christ and life eternal, we have to know that John is basing those signs of life on something. He's basing those out of the relationship that we talked about last week, the relationship that we have with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those signs of life, those fruit, if you will, of a life that's been changed by Jesus Christ in the gospel are rooted in soil. And that soil that John has, that is the place where all of this evidence grows from, is ultimately John's understanding of who God is. So just as last week, we kind of took an initial exam. We saw the big problem that is going on in this time. We want to establish a baseline today and next week. We want to establish an understanding of who God is. Because if we're in a relationship with God, and it's our calling and our design from the Lord to reflect God to the world, then John bases everything that he says off of his understanding of who the Lord is. And so the first declaration that John makes of the character and the nature of God, we find in the very opening chapter of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, John says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." John's first big theological statement is this idea that God is light. We have to ask ourselves the question, what does it mean that God is light? When we stop and we ask ourselves, what is God like, or what do we know about God? The truth of the matter is, God is beyond our ability to understand. And so throughout Scripture, God gives us metaphors, images that help us begin to understand some of who he is and his character. And John clearly declares here that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. As I was chewing on this passage of scripture and chewing on this letter this week, you know, I began reflecting on what this reveals to us about ourselves from scripture. And I got to thinking about the fact that I have some bad habits in my life. Do you have some things in your life, some practices in your life that you engage in that you know aren't good for you? One of the worst that I have is my tendency to snack late at night. We've had dinner earlier in the evening. We've put the boys to bed, and Sarah and I are sitting down and we're just enjoying an evening together. And my bad habit that I continue to indulge, even though I know that it is bad for myself, is I'll make popcorn, or I'll grab some cereal, or I'll have something, anything that fixes that craving, if you will, for something crunchy, something salty, something sweet. It's a bad habit that I know isn't good for me because I've already had a good meal and I'm not really even hungry. I'm just bored. And it continues to wear on me over time. We all have bad habits. We all indulge in things that we know ultimately aren't good for us. But the Bible says that we even go deeper than that. In John 3:19, when John is talking about, in the Gospel of John, he's talking about the arrival of Jesus Christ, and Jesus has just had this encounter with Nicodemus, and he's made the famous statement from John 3:16 of his purpose here on earth. Jesus says this in John 3:19, he says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." The unfortunate thing is that indulging in what's bad for us doesn't just stop at mediocre things or menial things. The testimony of Scripture is that we struggle with something far deeper than that, a darkness that is deeper than just bad habits. That darkness is sin. And so the theme of this light and darkness runs throughout the letter of 1 John, as John is exposing to us the character and the nature of God. And he is exposing to us the character and nature of sin and darkness, not only in ourselves, but in the world that is around us as well. And so as we're chewing on this notion of the wrestling that exists inside of us to live in light and to shun the darkness, John shares with us throughout his letter some statements that expose some of the things of what it means that God is light. Light is something that first and foremost we often associate with moral purity. The idea that God is light and that there is no darkness that dwells in him is the notion that God is holy, that God is completely set apart from anything that is imperfect and anything that is impure. What does it mean that God is light in the letter of 1 John? It means that God is completely separate from anything that is evil, anything that is dark, anything that is wicked. This darkness is sin. John gives us two examples of sin in these first verses of the letter, but also in chapter 2 as well, are the two sections where we really see this theme of light and darkness come out in the letter of 1 John. In 1 John 1:6, it says, "If we say we have fellowship with him," that's God, "while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." John says there that walking in darkness looks like telling lies. We know throughout Scripture that lies are forbidden, that we are to be people of truth. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, he says this, "Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness." John says here that darkness over and against darkness looks like hatred of other people. Sin is wicked. Sin is evil. Sin leads us to cover ourselves, to hide and to remain in the darkness. But this idea of darkness being sin and light being moral purity is seen elsewhere in Scripture outside of just the letter of 1 John. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says this, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, but who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In Isaiah's day, it was the sinful tendency of the people to redefine good and evil. And Isaiah says, uses here that image, that light stands for what is good and what is morally pure, and darkness stands for what is evil. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, he says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The shining as lights in that passage of scripture, we see Paul means that we are the blameless, we are innocent, we are without blemish. So we see throughout scripture this notion that light is an example of moral purity and darkness is sin. God's holiness and God's perfection are highlighted in the fact that God is light. And we are to be reflections of that light. We are to pursue moral purity and blamelessness and innocence. For God to be light in whom there's no darkness, it means that there's nothing immorally pure, impure within God. He is the standard of moral perfection. When I was in college, I had a college minister who used to tell me all the time that nothing good happens after midnight. It's always our tendency to attempt to hide the evil that we do in the dark places of the day, in the dark places of the world, in the darkness in general. Darkness is the thing that we use to cover that wickedness. But John calls us out of that. The Bible calls us out of that. The gospel of Jesus Christ calls us out of darkness. It says that our natural condition is to love the darkness more than we love the light. We are called to what is good and what is holy because we are called to reflect God. But light isn't just something that is identified as moral purity. In this letter, John teaches us also that light is something that reveals the truth. Something that is hidden in darkness is something that is shrouded in mystery. Have you ever been in one of those situations where maybe it was dark and you saw a shadow cast against a wall, and because of the darkness, you weren't exactly sure what it was, and it startled you, at least until you turned the light on, and all of a sudden, you realize that it was nothing in general. There was nothing that was dangerous. Before I had my eye surgery and I was dependent upon glasses and contacts, I was blind. And you add darkness on top of my blindness and my inability to see. Not only was I stumbling in the darkness, but there were things that startled me because I didn't understand what it was. Darkness has the power to deceive us. John makes that clear here in these opening letters or these opening verses and throughout his letter. 1 John 1:8 says this, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." He says in 1 John 2:11, he says, "Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." We see here this notion that's going to run throughout the letter of 1 John, this warning against lies and deceit. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 2:4 says, "Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him." 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son." This idea, this theme of light and darkness rolls into this theme of truth versus lie throughout the letter of John, as John is calling us back to the truth. And we read elsewhere in Scripture that truth comes ultimately from God's Word. In 1 John 1, we see this. It says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And then it goes on in verse 10 of that same chapter. It says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Jesus prayed and in the garden that we would know the truth. And he says that the truth is his word. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts and gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God's word is compared to a lamp that lights our path so that we can see what is true, we can see what is real. God is truth. He is the standard of what is true. He speaks only truth. He cannot speak falsehoods or lies. And so if we are to be people who are like God, if we are to be people who show signs of life which come from God, we must also be people of truth. And truth shows up throughout the letter of 1 John as well. It says in John, 1 John 1, 2, it says, "Because the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining." 2:21, it says, "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." 2:27, we read in that verse, it says, "But his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie." Chapter 3, verse 19 says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him." 4:6 says, "We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And at the end of the book, in chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." The idea that God is light is that God is true. God is truth. He is the standard of truth. As people ask that question all of the time, what is the standard of right and the standard of wrong? It is always God, first and foremost. But what is the standard of truth and error? It is God as well. He is light. He pushes back the darkness, and he speaks into the world what is true. And so we are called in Scripture not to be people who are overwhelmed and overtaken by the darkness and afraid of what is dark, but instead we are to be people who are of the light and who speak from the light and who speak and know the words of God, who've taken them into our hearts, who've studied them, who've meditated on them, and who allow the words of God to lighten those dark places of our hearts and of our lives so that we may walk in the light. And that's what John goes on to say. Not only does light stand for what is morally pure, and not only is light something that it reveals the truth and exposes errors, but John is not concerned only that we know what is right and know what is true. He's concerned that we are to be walking in truth and we are to be walking in righteousness. Throughout these passages, the letter of 1 John, and throughout the verses that are in chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, and then also in chapter 2, we see this theme of walking in the light. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where we read, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie." Going on to verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, we read, "Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." One of the things that used to regularly happen when Sarah and I lived in Louisville is I worked late nights at Starbucks. I was one of the closers. And it was not uncommon that Sarah would take the time that she had while I was at work, and she would get bored with the arrangement of the furniture in the house. And she wanted just to freshen up the space and freshen up the experience. And so she would spend some time at home and she would rearrange furniture. And it was not an uncommon experience for me to come home at 11:30 or midnight and to open the door, and I'm tired and all the lights are off and Sarah's in bed, and all of a sudden I go rolling over the back of the couch because it's in a new place. And about the time that I thought that I had figured out how to navigate my apartment in the dark, all of a sudden there's a piece of furniture in a position that it never was before. It is very difficult to walk in darkness. We have to be careful. We can only move at a slow pace, and we have to be reaching out for what is in front of us. But when we have a source of light that pushes back the darkness, that exposes the truth of what is there, then we are able to not just walk freely, but we could even run freely if we wanted to. But where there is darkness, there is fear. Where there is darkness, there is stumbling. Where there is darkness, there is deception. Where there is darkness, there is an extremely slow pace. But where there is light, there is freedom. There is freedom to move. And we are called to walk in light as opposed to walk in darkness. It's one of the things about this theme of light versus darkness, of truth versus error, of walking in it. There is no in between. I've shared with you before, there is no such thing as moral neutral. You are either walking in the light and in righteousness and in truth, or we are walking in darkness and in sin and in deception. There is no middle ground. John wants us to see that. And so John is concerned not only that we know that we are saved, but he is concerned that we are living out that salvation in this world. John's not the only one in the Bible who's concerned with this. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." If we are children of God, we are children of the light. If we are children of God, we are children of the truth. If we are children of God, we are children of holiness and righteousness, and we are to live that out. When we take the fact that God is light and we pursue and pursue Him and set our hearts upon Him, that will inevitably come out in our lives. And according to John, the way that we move from darkness and into light is through confession. The Bible tells us here, John tells us in this letter, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In John's letter, we are invited again and again and again to abide with light. And we abide with light and in light through the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes us clean of all of our impurities, which exposes the lies that we believe in our own hearts, which identifies the wicked ways in which we walk so that we might run with endurance the race of righteousness that is set before us in Jesus Christ. In loving and in living with Jesus Christ, we're invited to dwell in the light with God who is light, and in His mercy and in His grace and in fellowship with Him and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and through them with one another. The way out of darkness and the way into light is through confession and through repentance. And so as we stand here at the cusp of understanding and studying the letter of 1 John, the first thing that we have to understand is that everything that John is going to call us to is first and foremost rooted in this bold statement, God is light. So I would invite you now to spend some time reflecting on what that means for you. God's light of moral purity is something, first and foremost, that can terrify. If you've been in darkness, light itself can be painful. If you're sitting in a dark room and somebody walks in and flips the switch and the light just appears all of a sudden, it can hurt your eyes, it can be scary, and it can be terrifying. But light ultimately also brings safety. It brings warmth. And so reflect on what does it mean that God is holy and pure, and ask yourself, what are the things inside of my life that the light of God's truth and the light of God's grace and the light of God's mercy needs to shine into my life that I can confess, that I can repent of? What are lies that I have believed that I need God's word and God's truth to shine into my light and expose? How can you dig deeper into God's word, which is truth, which is, as the psalmist says, a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path? It's no wonder that we're stumbling in darkness if all we're doing each and every week is just grabbing our Bible before we come to church and we're not actually living in God's word. How can you dive deeper into a relationship with God through his word and allow it to expose the sin in your life and shine the light in those dark places in your hearts? And where is it that you need to confess and repent and walk in righteousness, first with God, but then also with one another? We hide from one another in the darkness. We deceive other people in the darkness. It's when we allow the light of confession to shine that we are set free from the darkness. Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in light? I invite you to spend some time, even now and in this week, reading again through this letter of 1 John, and read it looking for those ideas that God is light and that God is truth. Dig deeply into chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, and chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. In those two paragraphs, John really digs into this notion of light versus darkness and truth versus error. First place we start is that God is light. Are you sons and daughters of light? Can you say, as John invites us in this passage of Scripture, if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin? Is your sin cleansed before the Lord? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, now is a time. I invite you to get on your knees and invite the God who is light to shine his light into your heart and reveal to you the truth of his word and reveal to you the truth of the identity of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to reveal to you the path of forgiveness and salvation, which comes by confessing, God, I'm a sinner and there's nothing that I can do about it. I invite you, please, I beg you, please, transform me and save me. And if you are a Christian today, then invite the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart the truth of his word and shine the light of his grace and his mercy into the darkest corners of your heart to search you and know you and see, as the psalmist says, if there be any wicked way in you, that you might come to him in confession and repentance. We're going to have a time where you're going to be prompted with just some prayers. Spend some time in reflection here and now and invite the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart and show you how it is that you can respond to what you have heard today from God's word so that you can respond as a son or a daughter of light this week. God bless you, and I love you, church family.